I was very much interested in setting several different parameters to myself for FIC 2, and one of which was that I didn't want to work with my comfort zone in a way that I didn't want to work with all the artists that I have worked with before, but actually make it uncomfortable for myself and discover new and learn, but at the same time, a lot of new relationships emerge. So it's, I think 70% of the program are new artists that I haven't worked with before, and maybe like 20 to 25% are even artists that I didn't know beforehand. And when I was putting together the FIC 2 program, it wasn't like that I would do on a linear basis, but sometimes there would be blocks that I knew, for instance, June or November, some weeks in November or some weeks in April. And then there were times that I would not know who should be, let's say, week four, 10 days before the opening of week four. So there actually it happened 5 times that I invited artists 2 weeks before their opening, and then I was very lucky that they also kind of jumped on board, and 4 of them made new works. But it was a very hard to map process of curating, in a sense that there is a constant variable where you have a show every week, but there are different temporalities. And of course, with the scale of production, as you've seen, some of the projects are really big scale and you need to fundraise additionally, such as the Fender project that we also collaborated with Kunstverein in Berlin. And then we raised money to Berliner Senat or German and Austrian government, as well as from UK. So I knew that I wanted to work with Eva Grubinger before, and I haven't worked with her before. And then we looked at the schedule, and then we decided, okay, perhaps the September slot is the best one. And so that we could start working on towards, you know, making funding applications, etc. But then there were also other concerns where it had to be more immediate, that, for instance, another artist like Anne Hardy, I invited her 2 weeks before her show, where because I was trying to connect, and the thing is that I wanted to borrow only one thing, and sometimes it might be visible or it might be invisible to the audience immediately, but one thing, one component from the former exhibition to kind of carry on exploring that same component in the second or in the successing exhibition. And the other thing was that I was very much interested in kind of mixing the very established artists with young artists. So also like to give a possibility to young artists or artists with strong practices, a platform where they can also explore and experiment. And one thing that was very, very significant for me was not to repeat what is happening in London. So I wouldn't work with an artist who has a solo show or is part of a big group show that is at Tate or at, you know, very established museum. So I wouldn't necessarily work with them. And also it was important curatorially to bring something new to London, something that is not happening. And that is for me playfulness, because as the scenes grow and the variables are many, more and more control is inserted in programming, especially big institutions. You know, they make their programming for the next 2-3 years. They know what the artists will be doing, or the artists themselves as well. Let's say if they will have a big retrospective, they know what they're producing for a show that is only going to open in 2 years' time. Or there are also like other controlled behaviorisms in a way in which, like as I mentioned before, with fundraising applications, that you have to know what every component is, what is your audience outreach, who are you talking to, what is the efficiency, what are your public programs, etc. So I was interested in introducing a playfulness or a platform or a ground for play where things could be open-ended and things could be explored as we go through it. Sometimes I wouldn't know what the exhibition would look like on a Sunday night, because the art the artist has just finished the work, or we would introduce something else in because we thought, okay, this is not yet an exhibition, so how can we make it an exhibition? And then that would mean that running around like mad on a Monday morning and getting some carpets or finding some more pot plants or a bench from a friend, etc. So, but it was all about kind of like balancing different temporalities and in a way always thinking ahead, but at the same time always having a perspective of the past, because I really wanted to connect everything. So I use this analogy a lot. Actually, there are two analogies I use a lot, but the first one, and that's a bit more visual perhaps, is that for me Fig 2 is like a giant house that is composed of 50 rooms, and each room is leading to another, and there's only one door, but each room is different in size and, as you've seen, in color, in intensity, in feeling, but connected. And then you have to imagine not an elongated house, but actually a three-dimensional house where, if you have played this game Snakes and Ladders, that you throw the dice and then you go 43, but actually you have to fall down to 17 again. So it is also a bit like that week 17 is connected to week 43. Like you could say, you know, Beth Collar's week is connected to Karen Mirza's week as well. But there are also various different loose and very concrete threads. And of course, with wonders of everything, that somehow things are interconnected, or they get to be interconnected. It's like you read a book and then you come across with an art writer's name, and then you buy that art writer's book, and then afterwards you read another one that is influenced from the book that you have just read, and then find out that actually all those writers were friends, or, you know, there were times that, you know, you read a certain, you know, like without knowing I was reading Castorades, thinking that he's French, but actually he was very good friends with Lyotard, which I love. So this kind of things, and then the same thing happened with Fig 2 as well. There were also like connections that I haven't initially set up, but they emerged as it appeared. I'm curating Art Night next year. And Art Night is a new festival of London that started this year. It was hosted by the ICA and Cathy Noble curated. So it was like 10 commissions in London around Westminster area. So this was the Art Night that you can see. So basically it is about commissioning art and showing art in non-conventional, non-art places. So I'm working with the Whitechapel Gallery for next year to curate the festival in Whitechapel area in the East End. And sometimes my joke is like 50 projects one night and then I will retire. But no, it's not going to be 50 projects. But so I'm working on a different scale of commissions, but again, a bit like, yeah, working for 1 year for one big event.
But it's as intense as this Fig 2 then. What you're doing now?
Yeah, it is intense, of course. It has a different set of parameters, because this time you're also looking into what is the social rubric, what is it that East End is special about, and I've been reading a lot about the history of the East End and the migration history to its trade history, etc. And also you look at what is it that I can evoke here, and what kind of venues do I want to use? Do I want to use spaces that are charged by religion, such as synagogues, mosques, or churches, which is also very specific to East End, actually? Or you think about, like, how could I respond to the current migration politics of the country, and also look into a neighborhood which is basically the heaven of migration, and in a way that, you know, like from the Huguenots to Germans to socialist Jews, from Russia to Bangladeshi families, etc. So it's a big mix and hybrid, big mix, and it's hybrid. So of course you have various different concerns. I mean, I think when you think about curating, context is very important, and responding to context is very, very significant. I could also talk about my experience with the Gwangju Biennial. Like South Korea was a country I've never been before, nor I have worked in the context of Asian exhibitions. So when I was appointed or invited to come on board, I was very excited to explore, because it's not only exploring in a way that you discover things, but it's also about like every culture, every geography has its own language and has its own logic, has its own way of perceiving things. And it's not that one is right and the other is wrong, but you have to be aware of sensitivities and sensualities and let's say parameters of perception in a context that you are making an exhibition. So it could be on the corner of your street that you have always been walking, or it can be in a very different social, political, geographical context. I mean, for me, art should not be political in the sense that it generates political slogans, but it is political in its nature. It's a priori political because of its constellation, because of its immediate emergence as a product, as a social product, and an exhibition is basically in a way that it's like an organized presentation of a selection of those positions. So I mean, if we are to, let's say, analyze what is an exhibition, and we have to look into what is agency, what is production, and what is authorship, and perhaps the drive of the curating is, if we go back to my early definition of making art visible or making things visible, so you have to also first look into what is that thing that you're making visible, and what is the relationship of the artwork with the artist. Like recently somebody was using the term, I was like, oh, I was showing in, let's say, Berlin, and I just finished showing in Berlin. And then that's the artist who's saying it. So in a sense that she is embodying that authorship, although she isn't saying that I am showing my work, that is something that is distanciated, if you see what I mean. So in a way, that relationship between the artist and the artwork is so important to recognize at all times when you're a curator, in order to not to mistake yourself that they are the objects that you select. When you're selecting those products, they can be ephemeral, of course. It's not as object as tangible as a sculpture, but it can be a performance or a video, etc. You also have to count in the position of the artist that has produced that work, while you're also collating the grouping of your selection. And if we come to, let's say, different approaches to curating, you could be very much interested in period curating, where you are specialized on a certain period, let's say, painting between 70s and 80s. And that period curating will enable you a certain qualification and understanding of what happened during 70s and 80s. And hopefully you wouldn't only be in knowledge of what happened in painting, but what happened in art in general and what happened in the world in general, then it could actually give you a good reading of that periodic production. But you could also be, I mean, for me, I define myself as a concept-oriented curator, in a way in which I work with concepts and I like interrogating them, and I like working with artists on new commissions, mostly to also like invite them to interrogate with me. And it's not that I ask them to kind of validify my position or my quest, but it's about like inviting a different position, a different perspective on board, in order to expand those different set of references. If you imagine art as a whole set, then we individually embrace our own, because we have all different backgrounds, although we live in the same country, etc., all different ways of being influenced, or we have different modes of perception. And so if you're working with an exhibition, basically it's also about like allowing those different perceptions and different backgrounds, different positions to come on board and to stand as strong as you do. Neither precedes the other, I think. Like in a way that I feel the curator, or my position as a curator, is an ongoing collaboration that happens on the same horizon level, rather than that allows us to engage and negotiate and sometimes disagree and agree, but still exist on the same platform. So in a way, FIGTU is, yes, my project that I've curated, but it's also my team's project. It's also the project of all the artists or contributors that I worked with, because that's also how I wanted to explore the aesthetic and critical currency of our times. I don't think you could explore it from top down or bottom. I think that also what makes us different as curators and artists is that the artist can transform the object of everyday into a work of art. But as curators, we think about its ways of reception and from being concerned about how it is displayed, how it is meeting the audience, you know, what is the encounter that we are setting, and how it is recontextualized. Because one thing that is so crucial to address is that every exhibition is a recontextualization of an artwork or a series of artworks. Because it is, you set a context, it can be a conceptually driven exhibition or a period exhibition, that doesn't matter, but you're setting a context in which the work is experienced. And that context is, because it differs with the walls and if it's like fully painted or plastered, but the display units that you're using, if it's like, you know, like with the tables and chairs and plinths, etc., and the foreground, which is like how you are setting up those relationships, like for instance how we installed those walls were always important in a way in which we created zones where the audiences could come in and where the audiences were left out, or we created zones where it was it could be very insular and intimate. Oh yeah, you can see more pictures here, and this is the artist, insular and intimate, and sometimes that it would be a bit more out. So for instance, with like Simon Welsh, who was the poet, we, in the opening, all the walls were aligned by the real walls of the space. But for the week, we made it into a room within a room where he would meet with audiences one by one and write their poetic portraits. But they almost had their own privacy. And then he would also do talks, etc. But that would be a bit more open. Like this was like a opening talk that he did. So it's also again important how you understand what the work needs in order to support its display, in order to support its publicity, because I think that's also always a significant invisible component to imagine how people will be moving in the space and what they will be seeing first and what will they will be seeing after. In a way, you can say that every exhibition has a narration in itself, but that narrative doesn't have to be complete or fully constructed, but there's always a narrative, and so it's important to know what kind of narrative you're setting up for your audiences, and especially looking into, let's say, the phenomenology of perception, we're always guided by the conditioning of the former and the successor. So I wanted to talk together with you, or think together with you, what makes an exhibition, and there's like two F's I have highlighted. One is features. Exhibitions generate features, and exhibitions have functions. And perhaps we could do a brainstorming of what those features and functions may be. But Maybe we should start that, and then I can go with the definitions of curating. So when we say features of an exhibition, let's think about adjectives, how we describe exhibitions. And if you could give me some adjectives that you would say an exhibition embodies, so we could associate that adjective as a feature. Shall I give an example? Like, an exhibition is a visual. You know, it is visual. Or an exhibition is social, or aesthetic, or ethical, or bureaucratic. Or an exhibition can be artistic, interactive. Educational,
ideological,
definitely. It can be avant-garde, experimental, provocative. It can be gender aware, again, goes back into the political and social. It can be regional, national, subcultural, international, global. It can also be true, art and truth and exhibitions. It can be beautiful, again, aesthetics and pleasure. It can be legitimate. It can be natural, it can be material or immaterial. For instance, an immaterial example would be the Voids exhibition that took place in Pompidou, where they had nothing on the walls, but only descriptions of the artworks as captions, or only the captions of the works, sorry. So, an exhibition can also be linguistic or semiological or semiotic, let's say, using semiology, or spatial or sensorial, philosophical, spectacular, discursive. What else? Conceptual.
Could it be mundane and trivial?
It could be trivial and mundane. That's very good. Very good.
Non-present.
Non-present. Can you explain how non-present? Oh, yeah. It's
traveling around Europe at that time, and then
It was an American male. Well, I don't remember his name now. Yeah, no, but it is not an exhibition that is non-present. It's the artist that is non-present.
Yeah, true.
So the exhibition is conceptual, no, then.
I'll change it to non-presence.
No, I would say conceptual.
Yeah.
Any other adjectives you can think of?
Satisfying.
So the way we are thinking about the features of an exhibition is actually from different perspectives. And the main perspective we are employing is the perspective of the audience, the reader's perspective. And the second perspective that we're employing, such as conceptual, semiotic, spatial, etc., is the curator's perspective. So when you think of adjectives about an exhibition that you want to collate, perhaps think about what is it that you are embracing as a feature, an overarching feature, because an exhibition is of course always visual, and even if there is no art on the walls, it's always visual, and it always has an artistic value and a social value and an ethical value. Although you can find the ethics and the artistic and aesthetic values agreeable or not, they always generate those values a priori. So let's go to function of an exhibition. You know, like we said in the beginning, that it's about making things visible, or curating is making art visible. So then the function of an exhibition is making things visible, or visibility, adding visibility to a work of art. Or additional to that, it adds a production of value to the artist and to the art. Because by selecting that artist and that work that you're making visible, you're adding value to their practice, because you are separating it from the from the plane of the studio into a public space where you ask the audiences to recognize it as a valuable work of art. And the function of an exhibition in that level is that it converts subjective value, and that I've also mentioned earlier, that every curatorial enterprise and practice is subjective, but it converts the subjective value, like you as a curator have chosen those works of art and those artists to work with, and personal choice, into social and cultural capital through the arrangement of art and its primary material, which is the artist. Shall I say again? So it converts subjective value and personal choice into social and cultural capital through the arrangement of art and its primary material. And that subjective value and personal choice is not only the one that is held by the curator, but it's also held by the artist himself or herself as well. Because each work of art generates a subjective and subjective value and a personal choice. Because the artists have been through several stages of decision making while they were producing that work. And then, of course, an exhibition functions as a bureaucratic and economic agency, or it structures spatial experiences between works and the viewer. That's also what I was trying to hint at. When curating, it's important to think about the negative space, in a sense in which, if you think, like in a forest, trees denote the positive spaces, because we know where the space is occupied, it's there, but the negative space is the between, the in-between, the liminal space that we actually negotiate our way through. And the same thing with the exhibitions. It's about looking at what you are producing as a negative space, as a space for the audiences to walk, to meander, to negotiate their ways of engagement with the display that you have set forward. And curating per se is mostly associated with setting up the foreground, which is the collation of artworks and that relationship of the imagined relationship of the audience with the works, such as the constellation of the liminal space. But actually curating includes everything. Curating is about being responsible of what your container, what your space is giving you as initial source of inspiration. And it's also about using display structures in a manner in which it becomes tools for, or let's say, invisible agents for hosting the works that you're putting forward. So that you can also choose the display structures to come forward as much as art. That has been used widely in the since 90s as well, like working with designers who produce very concrete display structures that are also like defining the exhibition and defining how you look at things. But It is an important question and negotiation that you might need to go through with yourself and also with the artists, such as, for instance, the middle ground that we installed as the wallpaper in the Guangzhou Biennial was a very strong but a challenging one, that it necessitated all the artists to agree to show their work on that surface where their artworks were immediately contextualized. So they did not exist on their own, but they existed in the context of the whole biennial because the wallpaper was covering all the walls. So it was almost like a skin that we introduced, but that is a fluctuation between the display structure and that display structure that kind of infiltrates into the display of the work of art on its own. I hope I'm clear. Okay, and then the foreground is again what we talked about, the space of containment. How do you contain your audiences? How do you contain the artwork that you have put in? And what is the choreography that you're setting forward? What is your mini narrative? So if we were to define curating in a larger scale, what it does, we could perhaps say that it generates a cultural capital, whether it takes material, conceptual, discursive, or other form. And it is linked to processes of producing, constituting, and instituting art. So please think about that concept of recontextualization. What could that mean? I'm not saying that when you make an exhibition, the artwork is stripped bare of its content and put into a different content. But I'm saying that the way in which it is rephrased and perceived alters, and that alteration is actually the zone where the curator is responsible. And maybe I will borrow a description by Pierre Bourdieu here. The definition of curating, according to Pierre Bourdieu, is that it is the cultural production of the value of the artist and art. So there's this concept of value. Perhaps we could also explore later tomorrow. But what is it? What do we mean when we talk about cultural value? When we talk about the cultural capital or the value of the artist or the value of the artwork, is it also translatable as a meta value or to monetary value? Where when we think about the selling of art or the pricing of art? Or are we talking about more of an abstract social value that it attains? And so if we would define the exhibition as a temporary architectonic structure that possesses potential planes of interaction for the weaver, in a sense in which the weaver moves through the exhibition, or in a sense in which the weaver interacts with the exhibition, partly or fully, or in a sense in which the exhibition contains the viewer, then the curator is the agent which makes this possible, which installs those constellations of temporary architectonic structures that possesses the potential planes of interaction. And those potential planes of interaction is exactly what we could also talk about or say as encounter with the work of art. So in a way, there's a different and a similar definition in line of this thinking, is that a group exhibition is, in a sense, is a dramaturgical setting for the staging of spatial relations between works and weavers. So if you could perhaps also think about or ponder around what is a dramaturgy and perhaps relationship between a dramaturg that works at a theater, sets up plays for stage, and the curator who works at the museum and sets up those temporal architectural settings that are composed of artworks and imagined interaction of the viewers. temporal, in a way that every exhibition is temporal. Yeah, it is temporary too. Yeah, it is temporary too. But the thing is that because, as I was also referring to earlier before, it is every exhibition is temporal because it is experienced as temporal as well. Yeah.